chapter 21. Let's go to verse number 1, and we're going to read this whole chapter. Okay. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these things are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven last plagues, saith unto me, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high and a high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city have 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, and the eighth, beryl, and the ninth, topaz, the tenth, a chrysanthoprisis, the 11th, a jacinth, and the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Let's pray. Thank you, precious Heavenly Father, tonight for these words, this prophetic word, and Lord, the blessing that goes with reading it and hearing it. And Lord, the things that we see here are beyond our wildest imagination. We can only just kind of get a glimpse or a picture of what this might be. And Lord, we thank you for wise men that have counsel to understand some of these things. But Lord, the beauty of it all is beyond what we can even comprehend. And so, Father, tonight we ask your blessing as we study your word and as we look into it. Open our minds, our understanding, and give us the imagery that we need. And Lord, we again thank you for the privilege of reading your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we studied last week, as we read and studied, we finished up with verse number 8, that which is restricted from coming into the city, the New Jerusalem. And it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then we find in verse number 9, if you take your lesson there, I think we can understand this portion and the city itself as we look at it. The glories of the city is kind of what our lesson goes by here. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay, now we ask ourselves tonight as we do this, who is the bride and who's the Lamb's wife? And as we go through this lesson. And so we find here in this portion of Scripture then, who is, as I ask you the question, who is the Lamb's wife? Who is the Lamb's wife? Okay. The bride is always spoken of as the church, isn't it? The church is the bride, okay? Us, or so to speak, us. But also keep in mind that this new Jerusalem is going to be the dwelling place, I believe, of all that is Jewish or Gentile, because there's not going to be Jew and Gentile. We're all going to be the same or the one. But we see here in this portion of Scripture all of those things that are not going to be there. Okay, and so we look here. And so this angel that comes, one of these special angels, which has the seven last plagues that has been poured out already. And so it says there in verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Okay? Now we know that this is in preparation. If you look here, your lesson, the glories of the said city. Let's see if I can get this down here. Verses 9 through 21 is your lesson. It says the glories of the city, and that's what we're going to be talking about here then, the New Jerusalem. Okay, so the distinctions that we see, the first part of your lesson is the distinctions of the city. This earthly and every city and home on the earth requires some source of light. Okay, you guys are all kind of looking around. Okay, all right. If it were not for the sun, the moon, and the lighting systems, there wouldn't be any light. But notice we're not going to have any of them. Why? Because heaven and earth has passed away, right? There was no place found for them, okay? So we keep that. So John then describes this city, that this new Jerusalem. And we find there in verse number 11, having the glory of God in her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And we see that jasper stone is probably what we would say today is the diamond. Diamond. So the city looks like a shining diamond coming down, huge diamond coming down out of heaven to John. Where is it coming down to? It's the New Jerusalem, but where is it? It's descending out of heaven. Where is it coming down? Where's it? Coming down to the new earth, right? The renovation or the remade or the brand new earth that God's. Sally.
It's interesting to see that J. Vernon McGee doesn't see it that way. I don't know if you've read his, but he thinks it's suspended, the New Jerusalem, because it doesn't say anything in the scripture. He said it doesn't say anything in scripture where it comes actually on land.
On Jacob's ladder, the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. Okay.
I just thought that was interesting.
Okay. I just disagree. But anyway.
I tend to, too.
Pardon?
Is the earth now, it's just in the air. So the New Jerusalem will be just in the air.
I agree that that's true. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm just kidding. When I disagree with J. Vernon McGee, he knows more now or accidentally than what I know right now. But anyway, he knows the difference. But go ahead, Jim.
I'm trying to get a picture of who's going to be in this city and who's not. And is there? He's going to make the earth new, but there's going to be an earth. So are there people that live all over the earth and they come to this place? Or does everybody, not everybody lives in that city?
No. Keep your mind in focus that there are going to be nations, okay? There are going to be nations on the earth. Now, the only reason, to go back to what Sally's saying here, about I fully believe that it's going to come down to the earth because it has foundations, okay? Something to rest upon it. And I suppose you could have suspended foundations, but no, foundations are usually that which everything rests upon. And so, just my thought. And it doesn't say, though, that it comes down to the earth. But Elva, you're thinking, aren't you? You're what are you? What? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. We see the city then is surrounded by a gleaming high wall. We see this. We have a reference here when we're talking about this jasper stone. The city is like pure glass, or it's like pure gold, clear as crystal. He says here, go back to Exodus 33, verse 18. So that was one of the references that he gave. So if we go back to Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Okay. Exodus 33, verse 18 tells us this. It says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And so when we look at this, God's the image, a world where the glory of God is on full display. That's kind of what we're getting to back here when he says that he is going to show then that this is on clear display. Am I echoing a little bit? Okay, maybe not. Okay. And so as we look down through here in chapter 21, he says, having the glory of God in her light was like unto a most precious stone, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. But then notice the wall of the city. Now ask yourself a question. Why does there need to be a wall? You had the city, and there's nothing going to enter in that would tarnish or anything like that. The situation is in ancient times, they had walls for protection. There were walls to keep the enemy out and all of that. Why do you suppose God has a wall around the New Jerusalem? Because he says there's not going to come anything in that will defile it. It's just a good thought when God says there's going to be a wall. And then not only that, but he gives us the dimensions of the wall. Now, I think we talked about the dimensions as we look at this here. In verses and had a wall, verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Okay? The city has 12 gates. How many of the gates are closed? None of the gates are closed. What's the point of the gate if the gates are never closed?
Yeah.
You'll have to take that up with the Lord on that one. And the gates, as we see, are 12 pearls, okay? 12 angels that wanted each gate. And so we see this situation, and we imagine these things, and we can kind of get a visual picture of it. But when your lesson here says, and the angel having a golden reed comes to measure the city. A reed was about 10 feet in length. So this measuring would have taken some time. We're told that the city is built like a square at the bottom. It equal lengths on all sides. And we're also told this city measures 12,000 furlongs on each side. And that is as tall as it is wide and long, and 12,000 furlongs translates to about 1,400 miles. So to get a visual picture of this, it's like going from the Canadian border to Miami, Florida, and going from the coast in New Jersey all the way to Denver, Colorado. And so that kind of gives us the image of this city, massive. But not only that, we know that it's four square, which means that the height is just as tall as the length and the breadth. And so they're all the same. So this city is astonishing in its size. It's beyond comprehension. If one, as we see here, the Atlantic Ocean on the east to Denver there, and you see in Miami, Florida. So anyway, this city surrounded by a wall that measures 144 cubits high. This is 216 feet. This could refer to the height, or it could refer to the thickness of the wall. So I again, we ask ourselves the question, why the wall? Why this? I can understand the size of the city in the sense that all are going to dwell there, that name the name of Christ from the beginning of time to the end of time.
Maybe God thought we needed some dimensions because time will not be a dimension anymore. It gives us three that we're used to.
It gives us something that we're used to because we don't have any comprehension of time, nor space, nor size. Okay, Jim, you had.
I don't want to beleaguer the fact, but I agree. He tells us in John 14 he's going to prepare a place, and I assume that's for all believers. And he's going to come and get us so that we'll be where he is. So how come these other people live outside the city?
My sister, Kim, loves to live in the city. Sally, Cindy, and myself do not. We wouldn't want to live in a city. I think God knows that. There are going to be some who live in the city. I think to go back to what J. Vernon McGee says, there's going to be a transcendence. Notice that the nations of the earth at that time will come into the city. And I also believe that if they're nations, they're also going to have an opportunity to depart from the city and go out. Yeah, I think God knows that. He has placed us in the country, and I think he realizes that. And so I'm not sure that that's even part of it, Jim, but I can understand that that scenario at least. And so the city is surrounded by a wall that measures this high, 144 cubits, 216 feet, and it could refer to the thickness. Imagine a city. Now, like I mentioned, as we start imagining, okay, who does? Elva?
I just wondered if just the Jews are going to be in Jerusalem.
No. Okay. They will no longer be Jews.
Oh, we'll all be the same.
We're going to be united brethren.
Okay.
Okay. Neither male nor female. That I don't know. Which brings up the point, and it's a good question. You're not all going to be males. You don't want to be. Do you? Ladies, you want to be you. I don't think that will change. I don't see any. I have not read any place in Scripture, nor have I read any commentator that ever said we're all going to be unisex.
Maybe that was angels.
Okay. But we will be like the angels in the sense that there will not be marriage, okay, because the only marriage that's going to be there is what? Marriage of the Lamb, where we are married to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay?
I've been with Bonnie now 62 years, so what is our relationship going to be?
What will your relationship be in heaven?
Yeah.
Better than it is now. It's not any good now. Let it be good then. I think you'd have to agree that it will be better. Because it's going to be better than down here. Did you ever have an argument, you guys?
Yes.
Okay. There's got to be better. Because there's not going to be anything. There's not going to be anything there that defiles, or there's not going to be any arguments, okay? Everything's going to be perfect and righteous and God. Pardon? No sex. You may want to just take that out of the tape. Okay.
She's right there by it.
Okay. And here, we're just talking about a city. All right.
They're all worried about this.
Okay, imagine a city where there's no room for all. Where there is room for all. Okay. Where there's room for all. Where there are no ghettos, no mean streets. No wrong side of town. Imagine a city of absolute beauty and sinless perfection. If you can imagine that, then you can imagine home.
Well, you just think about Adam and Eve. It was perfect. It was perfect. And God built, he gave a helpmate for the husband. In this city, he doesn't need a helpmate. Because God will be taking care of us. He is our master. Jesus Christ in His Son. So it's something we cannot imagine. I mean, really, can think about it. Really. It's just unbelievable.
Okay. But even prior to sin, Adam was told to tend the garden, take care of it. He had a job to do. We are going to have jobs to do. We're going to have something that God has designed us for, and we're going to be there, okay? And we'll work it out perfectly, okay? Okay. The city's design in the next few verses, John describes the materials then, as we see here, used in constructing the city. He tells us that the wall is made of a diamond and the city is made of pure transparent gold. Okay. And so as we see this, these foundations, jasper, clear as diamond, sapphire, clear blue, chalcedony, yellowish green. And I just want to stop right here and say, God loves color. God loves color. He is the master painter of creation. And when you look at all of these things, sardonyx, white with layers of red. I don't know how they know that. Sardius is fiery red. Golden yellow is the chrysolite. And so you see these colors, beryl, sea green, greenish yellow is the topaz, chrysopis, no, chrysopis, that's who you say that, golden green. I don't even know where they got that one. But anyway, Bonnie.
You know what? When I saw the Hope Diamond.
Yes.
It's blue. It's a blue diamond.
Is it? You know why it's blue? Sad. 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 No, I'm sure that, Sally?
Look at the rainbow. Beautiful.
Something that, a rainbow is gorgeous, but the aurora borealis is magnificent. I mean, if you've never seen the
You can see it tonight. It's supposed to be shining over Indiana this evening.
Is it really?
Uh-huh, the aurora. If it's not clouding, it's not cloudy right now. But
as an artist, I had a special appreciation. Anybody that's doing any painting or anything, one of the hardest things is coloration.
Mm-hmm.
And many times I'd be looking and I'd make a comment, God, you really know how to paint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everything that God created has been so magnificently, perfectly beautiful in color, and he has his mind on color, and we can see that here. Okay, the writer says, I'm certain that these stones speak of God and his character in some fashion. We cannot understand all that they represent, but when we arrive there, we will know, even also as we are known, 1 Corinthians 13:12. Imagine, if you will, a city that gleams with the brilliance of God's glory. Imagine that pure light as it shines through the diamonds, the gold, and all the multicolored precious stones of the heavenly city. It will be a glorious sight to behold, beyond our wildest comprehension. Okay? And then the gates of the city are pearls. How do you get a pearl? It comes from pain, doesn't it? Irritation. Okay, but notice that these pearls, and Debbie, you've got a frown on your face.
Well, it says each gate will have one pearl. That's a big oyster.
That's one big oyster, huh? Okay. So we see here the sand irritates the oyster, and then that secretion of the calcium there, and it builds up in the grain of sand, and it's developed, okay? Those gates will remind that while salvation and the heaven it provides are free, neither was cheap. It was costly. And the new Jerusalem is costly in the sense that it cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything. It cost him his home for a while in his dwelling place. Even the street of heaven will be glorious to behold. We will walk upon a street that is paved with the purest gold. What a city awaits the redeemed when life is over. And so we see that then, the glories and the gates of the city. And then we find here, as we come on down, as we look at the latter part of this chapter, verse number 22. And he says, and I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The temple of it. Now I want to go back just for a second. He says, come. The angel said to John, come and I want to show you the bride. Okay. And then he says the bride, but he doesn't show him anything but the city. Is he calling the bride the city? It is, isn't it? We are the bride of Christ, but he doesn't say that here, does he? He just says, I want to show you the bride, and then he says, we see the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Okay. I think that's symbolism in the sense that we don't marry a place, or we're not married to that place. We're married to the Lord Jesus, but that's the dwelling place of where the bride's going to be and where we will live. And so we see that. And so we see then in verse number 22, it says, "And I saw the temple, that there was no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Okay, no temple there. Okay, no temple there. Why isn't there a temple there? Okay. Okay, as we see that. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Okay. In other words, he's going to dwell with the inhabitants there in this new Jerusalem. And so there's no temple. You know, we find that when John was there on the Isle of Patmos, what did he see when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? And he was taken up there in chapter number 4. What did he see? He saw the throne, didn't he? And he saw the rainbow surrounding the throne and all that. Is that not going to be anymore the throne of God? Is that not going to be? God's going to sit on the throne? Okay, so we see here the very presence of God and the Son there in the city, dwelling with them. Remember he said, "And I will dwell with them"? Remember, as we look back here, look at verse number 3 of this same chapter. And he said, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." You know, I get the point here that God has always desired, and his number one desire is that he would be able to dwell with mankind, men. Okay? And that we would dwell with him. And here we find in this chapter that the very tabernacle of God is going to be with men. Okay? And so when we see this portion of Scripture, then God's ultimate desire is to be in communion and in fellowship and in the very presence of men, okay? And so we see the guarantee of new relationships. When we arrive in heaven, our relationship with God will be forever altered. Altered. There will be a new interaction. Today we worship the Lord in churches and in temples constructed by the hands of men. We are not allowed to approach him because we are separated from him by the flesh and by sin. We come before God through the agency of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and man. In that day, there will be no need for temples and no need for mediators. We will have direct face-to-face access with God himself. We see that here in verse number 3. The lesson brings out here that there is a new intimacy. God dwells with us. The tabernacle of God is with men. Okay? And as we see the guarantee of new realities, not only will our relationship with the Lord be changed, so will many of the things we have grown used to in this world. The glory of the city. We've already commented on this thought, but we are reminded that heaven will be filled with the glory of God himself. The same God who stood in absolute darkness and said, "Let there be light," will fill our home with the brilliance and glory of himself. So, those gates will never be closed. Those pearly gates. We sing that song, you've heard it. He, the pearly gates, will open. No, he won't. They're never shut. So that I may enter in. Well, they're not shut. Ask yourself the question, when Jesus said to his disciples there in John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you." You believe he's still preparing that place? He's got all the blueprints laid out for us here, doesn't he? We see it in the guarantee of the realities there, the glory of the city and the gates of the city and the grandeur of the city. These verses give us a glimpse of a few of the sights of that city. These few thoughts were revealed, the grandeur of our heavenly home. We see here in chapter 22 then. But I want to make sure we get chapter 21, verse 27, before we jump up here.
Could you go back to 24 to 26, the gates of the city, what he explains here?
Okay, chapter, okay, and in verse number 24. Okay.
Explain that paragraph. That makes, I don't get it.
Okay. The gates of the city, those pearly gates, will never be closed. The perfected people who live on the earth will come in and out of the new Jerusalem, and being with them, the bounty produced by the new earth.
It's the next paragraph.
Okay. The illustration there. Apparently, after the earth is replenished and sin is defeated, humans will inhabit the earth and will live as Adam and Eve were intended to live. Well, this is supposition.
I was going to say, because it says they'll produce children and blah, 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 and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute.
They will produce children and enjoy life in a perfect world. It will be an amazing time when men, angels, glorified saints, and the Godhead come together in that city. There will not be marriage. Remember, Jesus mentioned that fact when they ask him, the Pharisees ask him, when the woman had five husbands or whatever it was, and whose wife shall she be in that day or whatever? And Jesus says, you don't know the scriptures. We're going to be like, as he said, the angels. Do the angels reproduce?
Well, who's this? They will produce children. Who's producing the children? I guess I'm confused totally with that. And that doesn't, that's not really scriptural. That's somebody's idea?
Yeah.
That would be almost accurate in the millennium.
It'd be accurate in the millennium. Right. Yeah.
Except for the perfect world. It's almost perfect.
It's almost. Sin's still there in the millennium. This is his thought on that, okay?
I
don't see that that's scriptural. It's not said. I don't want to add anything to it that's not there. But, okay. Then we see the grandeur of the city. These verses give us a glimpse of the few of the sights of that city. The river, verse 21, 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne and of God and of the Lamb. Okay? Pure crystal river flowing from God's throne. The throne is a source of life, and river that flows from it is symbolic of the kind of life it delivers. That heavenly city is a place of peace, prosperity, and pleasure. What does Psalm 1 say? Blessed is a man who walks not counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his life is like, but his light is like the that gives forth its fruit in its season, and its fruits also shall not wither. Okay, and its leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Yeah, Psalm 1. Okay. This river is filled with the water of life. It is symbolic of the unending flow of everlasting life. No fish in the river. Really? There isn't a millennium, okay. Yeah. Okay, and then we see the tree of life, okay. Tree of life, which produces its fruit for the healing of the nations. We know that. Okay, we see there. And in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded their fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Why do the nations need healed? I want to stop here in chapter number 22. I want you to read chapter 22. Find out all you can about chapter 22 when we come back. What are you looking at me like that for?
Okay. I've been asked if you were having this Bible study next Sunday night on Easter.
Shouldn't we?
Well, if you're going to finish it on night, but
how many of you won't be here next Sunday evening? You won't be here next Sunday evening.
Or
Eric, you won't be here next Sunday evening either. Okay. Would you want to forego till we'll all be back the following Sunday? Would that be all right? Okay. Well, and if you're all together that Sunday evening, with your families or whatever at Easter. I don't know that you are. You can, but keep in mind, read that chapter. We're not going to add anything to it. Okay? Or take anything away from it. What's the matter with you? You're going to be fishing?
You could put it off like 4 weeks. Jeannie, I'll need to tell
you. Okay, I'll get it for you. No problem.
All right. All right. Let's stand.
No problem.
We'll pray that you don't catch a thing.
No. I was going to share. Forget that.
Can't dismiss us. Wait, please.
Society of people out there around about us that are unsaved. So we just pray that when those people cross our paths that we can be prepared and equipped with your word to lead them to the saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, as we go our separate ways, we just ask you to protect us, give us a good week, keep us safe, and bring us back when it pleases you, Jesus.
Amen.